This is the MFG Cast. Hey everybody, Kurt here. I'm here hosting by myself, but I'm not alone. I have a wonderful guest, a guest that you've heard multiple times on this podcast. If you don't know who he is by now, then what the hell are you doing? It's John Haremza from the Legends of Tabletop. John, thanks for coming on, bud.
Beep, 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 beep.
Oh, yeah. Light him up.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. Always a pleasure to have you on. So we're going to do something a little different this time. I feel like we haven't had a good, like, just random conversation about something that I'm not familiar with. So I brought John on today because he went to a convention this last weekend. It's called RinCon. Before we kind of talk about it, why don't you just kind of give me a little bit of information of what it is, where it's at, how long you've been going there, that kind of thing.
All right. I'm out in Arizona now. RinCon is a yearly convention that happens here in Southern Arizona. It's put on by, I think their like parent organization is called Saga. It's the sort of the team that runs the convention. It's a board gaming / RPG convention. They've been doing it. Oh man, they've been doing it at least as long as I've been here in Arizona. So over a decade now. It's a great convention. This year they had 650 attendees ish. So that's like pre-COVID numbers, so they're back in a big way. They've had to change venues since COVID stuff, and you know, dealing with the hotels and things like that. It was formerly at a hotel and up in Tucson, and it's now being hosted at a casino out here.
Oh wow!
Yep,
nice. So have you been going since the beginning?
You know, I didn't. Mostly, I guess, because I was just a wuss. You know, like I went to PAX East. That was maybe the first like real convention I went to in 2012, which seems weird. I don't know if I was at a convention before that, but that was when a previous podcast, the first podcast I was ever on, Nerdbound, with our Legends GM Neil, and they were going up to PAX. So I was like, well, if you guys are going up, I'll get on the train and come to meet everybody. You know, so I had people to meet and play with and like go do stuff with, but going out to a con by myself was kind of like, well, I don't know. I'm not really a people person. So I was hesitant to go and, you know, and spend a weekend doing that. And, you know, when I moved out here to Arizona, like I wasn't into board games and stuff like I am now, obviously RPGs, but you know, not the whole board game side. But then, you know, one year I finally just said, you know what, the heck with it. I'm going to go. Like, I enjoy these things. I'm going to go check it out. So, I've been going for, the last 5 or 6 years, I guess.
Nice. Nice. So see, when you go, for sure. Yeah. That's a big little, dump in the middle of everything, obviously. Mm-hmm. So like you said, you know, you're more into board games now and stuff like that. So going this year, were you more excited about playing board games, more excited about playing RPG games? Did it actually shape out that way?
So last year and this year, ironically, I guess maybe, there wasn't very much stuff on the board game schedule that I was super interested in playing. Like nothing stuck out to me like, oh, I have to go play this game. So for this year, I wound up signing up for 5 separate RPG sessions. So
wow,
like
nice.
20 hours of RPGs. I did wind up playing some board games. You know, Friday at the start, they had some like open gaming. So I got a couple of games of Splendor and 2 RPGs, all either Call of Cthulhu or Trail of Cthulhu. And then Saturday morning, I wound up playing Biting Off Heads. It's a game by Cheap Ass Games. I think it's like 26 years old now. It's kind of like Candyland with dinosaurs, but you know, if you land on the same square as someone else, you get to bite their head off and they go back to start. You know, you can collect stones or rocks or whatever, and you can throw them at other dinosaurs, which is weird. It, you know, it's like a goofy, silly kind of,
yeah,
almost like a kid's game, but we played giant size. So like it was a whole table with big plastic dinosaurs. Nice. And big foam D6s. Yeah. So everybody was yelling and, you know, just hollering and stuff. So like it was fun. And, you know, I know James Ernest. So like, you know, he was like, "Hey, what are you doing? Come on, we're going to go play." And I was like, "All right."
That's awesome. Yeah. So when it comes to the board game side of things, so like you said, there wasn't too many things that you were really interested in. So like, are they playing like the same games that like every convention does, like your Carcassons and your Catans and stuff like that? And you're like, "I've played these games a million times," or, you know, "I've moved on to, like, you know, games that are a little more, you know, niche or whatever."
No. So I'm particular about the kind of games that I like to play. I have a certain type. Like I love a, you know, area control,
competitive, crunchy game
placement, you know, like there's certain things that I enjoy playing. And I'll look for those sorts of things, but there wasn't anything that really was something that I was interested in. And you know, they had some newer games and things like that, stuff that, you know, like if I was going to play, like I might be like, "Hey, I want to, you know, do some feedback on that," or, you know, do some research into it and kind of see, like, you know, is that a game I'm going to want? They did have Catan. I'm looking at the schedule now. They had Pandemic Reign of Cthulhu. Nice. They do the Artemis thing, which I don't know if they have that everywhere. It's like it's like a space combat. Like you said, somebody's the captain and somebody's the gunner and all that kind of stuff. So they have all that.
Nice.
We have a local group. They do Texas Hold'em with zombies. So they're at a lot of the local conventions. And yeah, there wasn't, I mean, they had Dominion, so like I could have jumped in on that, but I think I was doing something else at that time. And they had Return to Dark Tower and Doomlings, Forest Shuffle. There was a bunch of stuff, but again, it wasn't anything that, like,
yeah, you know, just nothing that called to.
Yeah, like I could play Ticket to Ride at home, or, you know, like on PGA, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
And some stuff like, you know, Survive, Escape from Atlantis, like that's cool, but like I don't really care, you
know. So when you go to a con like that, that's, you know, in the grand scheme of cons, it's not a small con, but it's also not a big con. It's like, so like we have one here in Minnesota where if you get a large amount of people, it's over 200 people. So like 600 people, that's a decent amount of people. So like what draws people to this con besides just the games that are there? Is there anything special that they do or anything like that?
I mean, I think like with a lot of these things, because it's local, because it's relatively small, and there's, I mean, we're thick with game designers in Arizona, both board games and RPG designers. John Wick is here. Shane Hensley is here. Tracy Sizemore, Daryl Hayhurst, Ron Blessing, Brendan LaSalle, like Seth Jaffe, David Short. I mean, like we have a wealth of game designers, you know, various forms. So there's some pretty strong, you know, communities. A lot of stuff that goes on in Phoenix. They have East Side, West Side, you know, stores with, you know, game groups and stuff. So with RinCon, you see the same people every year. You know, it is a big community, and everybody's into it. Like, I've never had a bad RinCon experience. You know, you see the same people year in and year out. You know, I had people come up, "Oh, hey, you know, how's it going? Oh, did you just get her? I haven't seen you." "Nah, I've been here since yesterday, playing all RPGs." "Oh, okay, well, that's why I didn't see you. Well, what are you playing? Let's go play something." You know, so it's fun. And you look forward to seeing, you know, those people and getting in a, you know, a handful of games. You get to know the GMs and things like that. And it's all good people. There's a good selection of games. I'd say it's about a 50-50 mix, you know, board game to RPG, right? Like RPG sessions take longer. You know, there's a pretty good mix. There's a relatively small vendor hall. I think there might have been, I don't know, maybe like 15 vendors, maybe. Two of our locals, you know, local game stores were there. They're all good people. You know, some independent, you know, folks, you know, some people doing, hey, I'm getting, I got a game coming to Kickstarter and I'm here to tell you all about it.
Nice. So let's go on the RPG side of things. So you know, for anyone that's ever listened to us talk about stuff, like you're big into Cthulhu stuff, you know, you've got your own book that deals with Cthulhu in the core setting called Cthulhu. You've got all kinds of awesome. You've got your own tattoo with, you know, your little squid on it or whatever, that kind of thing. Like, so when you play something like this, you play some of these games, do you get to the point where you're excited about it? Have you played it so much that you feel like it's played out? Like, does it, you know, how does that feel to you now that you've done it quite a bit?
I mean, I always enjoy, you know, getting together, and it's, yeah, you know, at a convention, it's always, you know, kind of a mixed bag. You don't know exactly what you're going to get when you sit down at a table, because it's not like us sitting down and playing a game, even if we pick up a new system or, you know, we want to try a different kind of game. But all of my tables were good. All my GMs were good. We did get to actually role play some at some of the games, because, you know, sometimes with a convention, you know, you got, you know, six people sitting at a table, you got a 4-hour window. It can become somewhat procedural in some cases. You know, you maybe pick out one or two aspects and you just, you know, try to throw that out every once in a while. Your character has a, you know, imperious tone, or they're rigorously scientific, or, you know, whatever their little quirk. You know, you just try to throw it out there so you feel like you're engaging and you're kind of getting something out of it. But we had some good sessions. We had some good RP. I got to play Sorrow and Savo by Bridget Jeffries, which I have a copy, and I was hoping to maybe either have her run it on our stream or whatever, but then I played it. That was a bunch of, you know, a lot of fun. Then I got to play We Are All Savages by Bill Adcock. Bill's also a hobby designer. I mean, he's been paid, right? I'm not trying to, like, you know, poo-poo and say hobby designer. He's a designer. We'll just say he's a designer. He's written for Cthulhu Eternal, a bunch of other stuff. And I thought when he said that, I knew what I signed up for. But as, you know, we're sitting at the table and he said the name and I'm like, I think this is Bill's scenario. So I had to look it up when I got home and I'm like, all right, yeah, sure, it was. Which it was like a 1760, like, you know, French, you know, American Indian, Native American war thing where, like, we were playing the British and, you know, we had our indigenous allies and the French were attacking and they had their indigenous allies. It was a frustrating scenario. Cause, like, as a player, you know what's going on. Like, you could suss out what's happening, but I couldn't make the roles to translate into action in the game. Yeah. But it was fun. I had 100% success rate. All the characters and every table I was at survived, which is unusual, but
especially in Cthulhu games, in that scenario, in those scenarios. That's awesome. That's cool, because I know that, yeah, like you said, when it comes to con based RPG gaming, sometimes it can feel kind of forced, and when you get to the end of a session, you know there can be times where you're like, well, that didn't quite, like, end. It just kind of, like, it had to end because, you know, we only have this time window. Yeah. You know, that kind of thing.
I was in a game one year where the GM was like, oh, crap, I prepared, like, 8 hours worth of gameplay. So we got, like, 3 hours in, and we got to a spot to take a break, and he was like, yeah, there's no way we can finish this, so...
Yeah.
We could just call it, because...
Yeah.
We're not going to finish. It's
funny. I've actually heard a story from other people that have done that kind of thing where they've played a story up until a point and they go, you know what? If you want to meet at the bar at, you know, 9 o'clock, we can finish the rest of this. And people have done it or gone to, like, hotel rooms and, like, done it in their hotel room and so role played, not whatever, whatever it sounded like it. Yeah. That's not what I was saying. People, get it out of your filthy minds. So yeah, that's cool. Let's see, what other questions do I usually have? Because it's funny, because it makes me think of when, back in my day, when I used to go to cons, but now I don't, because I don't want to get sick anymore. Excuse me.
Speaking of sick.
Yeah, no kidding. That's just me coughing, because I don't have enough water, and it's dry as hell down here. So when it comes to like product that's there and stuff like that, do you see like the hotness like you would see at some of these bigger cons and stuff like that, or is it just the local game stores just kind of bring some of their product, and you know, maybe you'll find some like dice and some other RPG books and stuff like that? Like, I know you said like there are some people like doing, you know, stuff for Kickstarter and stuff like that, but are people bringing some of their new stuff for you to try that's available to purchase as well?
Nothing stood out to me as like super new. The store that I normally go to is called Isla Games, and they had a bunch of like huge like boxes of stuff that were like, you know, Kickstarters that they backed and stuff. So they brought those sorts of things. I think they tend to bring some overstock when they come out, just kind of, you know, try to get rid of some stuff. I know they usually have like a discount table at the store. I know a lot of times they'll just bring a bunch of that stuff, or if they, you know, if they've got 10 copies of this, they'll bring, you know, 4 copies just to, you know, try to eliminate. I think the other store, Tucson Games and Gadgets, it looked like they had a different selection. I won't say a better selection, but I saw stuff in their, you know, little booth that was different than what Isle of Games had, which makes sense, right? You don't want to bring the same 30 games and then, you know.
Yeah. I always wonder how they plan that out. If they talk to each other, or, you know, if they just go, well, you know what? I know they're going to have this, this, and this, so now we're going to bring this, this, and this, you know?
Yeah.
Was there anything that you saw there, whether it was for purchase there or other people that had that it was around, that you were really excited about?
So they also do a board game flea market, where people bring up their old games and, you know, sell them for cheap, which I thought I was going to miss completely, because it started at 2:30 and I had a session at 2:00, but we wound up taking an early break. So I was able to get in. The only thing that I bought this weekend was a copy of Carcassonne for $5. And I was like,
oh, wow.
I can't not buy that for $5. a lot of stuff was gone by the time I got in there, because it was, you know, about an hour in, you know, towards the end of the market.
Yeah.
So that was fun. So I picked that up. There wasn't anything, like, I wasn't going to purchase anything. So I wasn't really looking for anything. You know, there are some folks that do like accessories, you know, handmade dice trays and all that kind of stuff. And there's some really nice stuff there, but I'm not in the market. Like, I don't need more stuff.
Yeah. I've got enough.
There's enough crap on the shelves that we're not playing. I don't really need to pick up anything.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. let's see. I had a couple other things in my head and they left. Let's see.
So I'll also say that they do, they work in conjunction with the, what is it? Not the, like, the food market. So like they do take donations for the food bank, for the
food, like,
bank.
Food pantry.
Yeah. Okay. So they raised like $250 for the food bank, along with some monetary donations. So that was cool. They do raffles all through the weekend. You know, some of the stores will donate products. Some, you know, like designers, companies and stuff donate and things. I threw a ticket in for, the Avatar. They had a whole set, dice, books, you know, the whole kit and caboodle. I was like, I'll throw a ticket in. I don't need it. I don't know that we're gonna play it, but I'll throw a ticket in. Of course I didn't.
Yeah, no.
And they did it was nice this year, they did a so it's in a casino, so you can leave the convention center and, you know, walk all through the casino and, you know, get down to like where the restaurants and stuff are, and it was fine. You know, it did that last year, but it takes you away from the convention. This year they offered like a meal plan. So I don't remember how much it was on top of the ticket price, but they had, you know, food service at the doors to the convention. And it wasn't like super complex, right? Like, you could get a salad, you could get a sandwich, you could get hot dogs, you get nachos. And, you know, in the morning they had, you know, yogurt and fruit and, you know, coffee and like egg sandwich, or, you know, pastries and things. So like It was super convenient. I don't feel like it was overpriced for, you know, for what you got. So you could, you know, get in line for a few minutes, grab a sandwich, you know, get right back into gaming. So,
yeah, I love that idea because, you know, there's a lot of those cons where like you have to walk across the street or you have to, you know, you have to leave the premises just so you can get one thing. And then, you know, and it takes you. Yeah, it takes you a while to get back into everything, you know.
Yeah. And I would usually
that's nice. I like that.
Bring Pop-Tarts for breakfast or like pack a bagel and some cream cheese, you know, make a peanut butter sandwich and then run off into a corner just in case someone's allergic or whatever and eat a sandwich and then run back to the table. So it was really nice. It was super convenient.
That's cool. I like that.
And it was decent. Like it was all decent food. You know, they had fruit and, you know, you could, you know, selection of, you know, juices for breakfast. Of course, they had sodas and Gatorade stuff. And obviously the convention center just has water. I brought my water.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was super nice. I didn't feel like I was dehydrated. You know, I felt I had enough food to eat. You know, I still brought snacks, you know, things like that. But yeah, it was super nice.
That's cool. Yeah, I like that idea because it just makes sense. Because I think, you know, when it comes to any kind of convention, you can easily kind of forget those things because you're like, okay, well, I need to eat, but maybe I'll have a snack in like an hour, and then, you know. And then it's like, you know, 7 o'clock and you're like, I haven't had supper yet. Or some people do, I haven't had lunch yet, you know, that kind of thing. So I think it's nice that they have that. That's pretty great.
And it's one of those things that, you know, you're at the con, you're spending money, you're spending your time, and you know, you want to just absorb, you know, everything while you're there. But it's important too to, you know, to take some time out, make sure you're hydrated, make sure you're fed. Make sure you're clean. You know, at one point on Saturday, I just went back up to the room and I, like, lay down and, like, zonk out. But I went back to the room. I took my shoes off. I washed my face. I brushed my teeth again. I, you know, sat down, you know, scrolled through my phone and just, you know, kind of zoned out for an hour just to kind of, like, relax, reset. And, you know, and there was kind of like, I should just stay downstairs and try to find a game. But it was like, there'll be games later. Like,
yeah, for
sure. I have
sure.
plenty of stuff that I'm doing. It's okay to go and sit down.
Yeah.
Take a load off and relax, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it makes sense. It's just like anything, you know, if you keep running yourself ragged, you're going to get sick. You're going to get tired. Like, you know, having that meal plan, like you said, like there's, you know, like the fruit, stuff like that. It's not that garbage, so you're feeling terrible as you're kind of going and stuff like that, and taking those breaks, like that's something we had to learn the hard way, because I think like the first convention we went to was like a Gen Con, and that was that's just like go, and right. Of course that was the first time we were there as a podcast, so it was like we have to meet all these people, we have to do all these things, blah 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 blah. So by the time the convention's over, you're like, okay, I feel like I lived 4 months in these 3 days that I spent there, you know, that kind of thing. And I think the last time we were at a convention, we like played a game, went and sat down, talked for a little bit, played a game, went back to the hotel, came back, played, you know, it's like we took times for ourselves because like, again, like you said, the games are going to be there. But if you're not up to snuff, if you're not feeling great, it's just making it worse. And then you're not having as good of a time.
Yeah, no, it's definitely important to keep all that in mind while you're doing it. The convention's going to be there, you know?
Yeah, so
make
for sure.
Make sure you're taking care of yours. Because that's like, you know, we go to Necronomicon, that's like you're just on for like 4 or 5 days, you know, because everybody's there and you want to talk to everybody and you want to do everything. But it's still important to, you know, make sure you're kind of taking those breaks.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's a lesson for all of us. To take care of each other. Yeah, I think I've exhausted all of what I could ask you about Rincon. It's funny because usually I write down things today. I was like, you know what? Today is going to be one of those off the cuff. I'm just going to ask you what comes to my head. And I think we pretty much talked it up and down. So is this something that happens the same time every year? Does it change?
It might have been September or October in previous years, and I, you know, might have been based on availability with the I think last year and this year it was both November. It's definitely a fall
Gotcha.
I think last year it was around this time too, so I think we've, you know, kind of settled into November. I think that also maybe sort of depends on what the availability at the, you know, at the casino is. I'm sure that may shift around, but it's, you know, again, it's a nice size convention, like 600 people. You see the same people all weekend. And like I said, we're just thick with designers, and it's, you know, you turn around and there's somebody, and you turn over here and there's somebody. You know, everybody's super welcoming, and you know, everybody's easy to talk to. They don't do panels. Well, I think they did a panel or two. They've done panels before. They don't. It's not a large part of the convention, because I guess most people don't go.
Like, yeah.
I would record panels in the past at Necronomicon, just because, you know, you can't get to everything at a convention like that. This one's small enough that, like, if you wanted to do, you just carve out that out.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I think they did, you know, like a couple of, like, let's design an RPG in an hour kind of thing, or let's design a board game. Like, they had those, a couple of those sorts of things. There was a designer meet and greet that I got pulled into. James Ernest, you know, so I was like, hey, James, how's it going? He's like, oh, we're having dinner. Come on. It was me with a bunch of designers, and a random couple came up, and they're like, what do you do? And I'm like, well, I'm a podcaster. And I said, well, I wrote this book, Cthulhu thing or whatever. And Daryl was like, well, that's how people in the industry get started there or anything. And I'm like, I won't take any credit for this. I'm not going to do it. And he was like, but you did it. And I'm like, no.
Yeah, yeah. You're determined to be like, you've all done something. I've done nothing. Why am I here?
Yeah. So that was fun. it's a good time, right? Like, you get to indulge in your hobby, meet like-minded people. Like I said, in the past, I was, you know, maybe a little gun shy about going, but they're people that you have stuff in common with already. You're a nerd or a geek or whatever, going to a game convention to play games. And that's what everybody's there for. So, like, if you're out there and there's a local con by you and you're, you know, kind of hesitant to doing it, these are your people. More than likely, you're going to have a great experience, because most people, you know, they're all good, right? I mean, like I said, I've never had a bad experience going to a small local con like that. You go to Gen Con or something like that, right? You got a lot of people, and, you know, you may just wind up having a bad experience. Sometimes you hear a bunch of stuff on Twitter that nobody really knows what happened, but something happened, and, you know, that's usually, you know, the muckety mucks, social media profile people, and not like normal people.
exactly.
With stuff going on. But yeah, go ahead and do it. Like, it's a fun time. You get to experience some new games. One year when Wingspan was the big game, I wound up playing it like five times over the course of the convention. And, you know, when I left, I was like, you know what? This game isn't for me. Like, this is not I tried. I played it over and over and over again. I played it with different people, and I'm like, this is just not a game for me. So you get to get out and experience some stuff you might not be able to experience at home or with your regular play group. If you don't have a play group, you know, maybe you'll find some people that you could get into a play group with. Now, if you're, you know, traveling, you know, outside your community, right? This is super close to me. It's like half hour from my house, you know. But if you're in, you know, New York and you're going to Kineticon, and maybe you're not going to find the people that you're going to be in a group with. But, you know, if it's local to your area, like, it's definitely worth checking out.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I say take a chance regardless, because, you know, a lot of times you'll find people in those communities that even if you don't game with them locally, you might, like, we have a friendship, like, you live in Arizona, I live in Wisconsin, like, you might find those people that you could do something online, you know, or, you know, you could even do, like, you know, a yearly or, you know, bi-yearly, like, hookup and be like, hey, you know, I'm going to come to this thing again so we can do that. So, yeah. I always tell people too, like, I like the local conventions myself as well. They might not be sometimes as organized as the bigger ones because they have less people. A lot of times they're volunteers and stuff like that. But you do get a lot of community. You get a lot of people that will be, you know, like, oh, you're playing that game? Oh, I love that game. Or, you know, like, one of my favorite stories is when we went to one of our local cons and me and Tracy bought, I'm trying to think of the one, two-player game with, like, the buttons. God, why can't I think of it?
Patchwork?
Patchwork, thank you. And we had, you know, it's one of those that, you know, you go online and everyone's played and, oh, I love this game. And we're like, we've never played it. You know, we play it on this little, we're playing on this little table and this guy just randomly comes up and he's like, oh, I love Patchwork. And they're like, yeah, we just bought it. We've never played it. He's like, you never played it? Do you want me to teach you? And we're like, okay. You know, it's all of a sudden he's just like, yeah, this is this. And that's how you got to do it. You know? And it's like, it's a fun little community where, you know, you like, you feel like you belong. And those are the things that when you go out in the world, you want that stuff to happen. You want to feel like you're a part of something bigger than yourself.
And like you say, even if they're not local, like, you know, we have things like BGA now where you can just, I'm in a game right now with somebody in France. Like, you just, you know, if they're on there, you could, you know, strike up a friendship and play with a game with a guy in the UK. And, you know, sometimes we'll just, you know, we'll be playing and chatting at the same time. And yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, for sure. That's awesome. Well, cool. Well, I want to thank John for coming on again. Legends of Tabletop Podcast. You got a lot of stuff going on. What's kind of the big thing right now as far as what you've got that you're releasing for your podcast?
We have three ongoing campaigns. Well, two for sure. So we have our Runners game, which you're in. That's a lot of fun. That's a core-based RPG written by our friend Jesse. It's a post-apocalyptic, like, think more like Terminator, where it's like an AI situation. So you're in these little arcologies and essentially you're postmen for all intents and purposes. You're running
badass postmen.
Yeah. Running from one place to another to, you know, collect supplies, deliver supplies, you know, gather information about the, that kind of stuff. That's a fun game. We've been playing Deadlands, which we are in a end of season break. We're going to play a little bit of Salvage Union. And then we've been intermittently playing our 1920s Call of Cthulhu. And I think that's pretty much it. Cthulhu is out. It's been out. I am lazy and a garbage person, so I have not worked on and or finished version 3, which would be a complete book with all of the rules from Core Micro in, you know, mixed into the Cthulhu book. So you could just buy that one and have all the rules that you need to play. It's my homage to, you know, Call of Cthulhu, Trail of Cthulhu, Cthulhu Dark, all the Cthulhu games. It's my little take on it, based on Core. And we all put these games together to help Todd, you know, push Core to get more eyes on Core as a game product. Kurt also has a game out, the WWA, I don't remember, Woodland Wrestling Association, right?
That's it.
Hey. So, yeah, I think that's probably it. We used to do interviews and roundtables and things. We haven't done very much of that lately. So, eh. I mean, they'll be there sometimes, once in a while.
Yeah, for sure. You do it when you do it. Yeah. Hey, as long as you're coming out with content, who cares what it is, really? I mean, there's enough stuff. There's enough things going out in the world right now, going on with the world right now that, you know, just doing anything positive is a good thing.
Mm-hmm. We're on most of the social media platforms. We're still on Twitter. I don't know for how much longer, but we're on Blue Sky, Instagram. There is a Tumblr, although I haven't a Tumblr in forever. So I can't say there's really anything on there that's worth looking at. You know, we're on all the, you know, whatever your pod catcher of choice is. It's on Apple. We use SoundCloud as our main feed, but it gets scraped and it's, you know, kind of all over the place. So, yeah, check it out. If you like APs, there's probably something on there you might enjoy. If you don't like APs, you're probably not going to like it.
you're down talking it. There's a lot of good content.
I like to think all right. So.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. All right. Thanks to John again. Thank you for listening. And I'm Kurt, and this was the MFG Cast.
This podcast is a proud member of the Legends of Tabletop Broadcast Network. For more gaming-related content, please visit www.legendsoftabletop.com.